I want to ask a question, because I get asked the question to myself too. And, you know, if you've been in the church any period of time or not, what's been your experience with prayer? Because I know that I've struggled with prayer at times. I'm certainly, when I think about when I pray, and I pray every day, and I pray every morning. I try to make sure I pray every morning. I'm not saying I've never missed, because, you know, there's been things that have happened before. But, you know, I pray every morning and try to pray throughout the day, not just necessarily alone, but, you know, how you pray. But do you ever struggle with prayer? Because I know I have. Sometimes I've asked myself, why would the great God listen to what I'm saying? Because sometimes I just feel my mind's wandering all over the place, and I'm thinking of all the various things that are going on and things like that. And let's face it, I really wonder why God would really accept a prayer that doesn't seem to be able to focus at times. Now, God is God, thankfully, and he sees our attempts, and he sees, although we may be feel futile at times and may feel like we don't have a lot of things we'd like to do or way we'd like to do it, God sees our attempt, our attitude. Now, I remember my father. I had a wonderful father. He died at 89, and things change over the years, but I know one thing. When I was growing up, every single dinner, we would eat as a family. Now, there was occasionally, you know, my sister might be visiting someone, but we would basically every single dinner. And my father would say a blessing on the meal, and what I've always thought was really struck me was he said the exact same prayer every, and he was a sincere person, but he said the exact same prayer every meal, and he said it so fast, I've heard that prayer probably thousands of times, and I couldn't tell you what he said. He said it so quick because it was sort of a rote prayer. Now, I noticed the last few years of his life, don't ask me why, because I don't know, but he started giving not that standard rote prayer, but he started saying, more of a like whatever is on his mind prayer. And I always thought, I wonder what caused him to change. And I appreciate it when he did. But people have, you know, there's all types of situations. And if you've never struggled with prayer, then I'd like for you to explain to me how you do it. Because we all struggle at times. We all struggle at study sometimes. We all struggle at fasting sometimes. But now I had a friend. He actually went to Ambassador College. He's still a friend. I still know him. I still see him occasionally. But he told me that when he had been to services one time. I don't think my watch is running right. I'm glad I got that one. But when he went to Ambassador, I think he'd been to services one time, and his father drove him out to Ambassador College, and his brother went with him, and neither of them were interested in the Church of God. But I remember this so clearly. Now, at Ambassador College, they had these little tiny rooms. They call them prayer closets. It's like it's like a closet. It really is. It's even smaller than some closets. But there'd be a little stool where you could go in there and pray. You could go in there and pray and not be interrupted. You know, there's privacy. And my friend, when he'd never been to services, but I think one time, and he was sort of stumbling around, and his brother was looking around at the facilities, and he said he opened this door, and it was actually a prayer closet. And he said his brother looked at it and said, "What is this? Some type of torture chamber that they put you in when they're upset?" And my friend said, "Well, no, I think it's a prayer closet." And he said that his brother just kind of looked at him, threw up his hands and said, "It's your life, man," and walked away, thinking it was so odd that there'd be something like a prayer closet. You know, God wants to hear from you. God wants to hear from me. And God wants to know what's on our mind because he's our Father, is he not? Now, there's a scripture, and I'm not going to turn to it. It's just a very few words. It's one sentence, and it's over found in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and the sentence says, "Pray without ceasing." Now, it doesn't mean we never, you know, no one can pray 100% of the time all the time, but yet it means don't quit praying, because prayer is very important to a Christian. I believe virtually everyone, and I hope everyone in this room, wants to have a deeper, fulfilling relationship with God. You know, we want to grow closer to God. And as times grow harder, and as the world seems to be on a slide that is not really positive, in fact, it's getting frightening in a lot of ways, you see. I mean, you see, one thing, Penny and I were talking yesterday when we were walking about how we used to really enjoy listening to Ken Martin. But Ken Martin, at the Feast of Tabernacles a couple years and some of his sermons, he would talk about prophecy. But he would talk about it in a way, not a lot of speculation of what we think, this, that, and the other thing. He would take the news and take some of the things that's going on and match them up to what the Bible says and really focus our minds. And Ken was great at that. In fact, I got a text from Barbara Martin. Of course, Ken died. Man, I lose track of time now, but it's probably 3 months ago or so now. And she sent me a text not too long ago, and it was fairly long, but she mentioned, she says, "I'm doing okay. But then I'm not doing okay because her husband is no longer there." Now, I'm sure that's what Lois Ellis would say. "I'm doing okay, but I'm really not doing okay," because she's lost her mate. And what a terrible thing to have to deal with. But yet, you and I, we want to grow in our relationship with God. Now, again, we're human beings. We have faults and flaws, and it's real easy to see the flaws in ourselves because we all know we have flaws. And I look at myself and I think, man, I got all these flaws, and why would God want to listen to me? But yet I know he does. And there's a scripture over in Luke 18 I think I'll turn to. Luke 18, because I've got 7 points, but I'm not going to concentrate on these points that much, but because I want us to have time if we want to discuss and talk about the sermon and so forth. But I want us to think about points and think about prayer, because I need to become better in prayer. You want to become better in prayer. We want our prayers to not feel like, why would God listen to this? But yet, on the other hand, God does listen, and God's looking at our efforts. God doesn't want a bunch of hypocrites. He knows we have flaws, and we know we have flaws. But God wants to hear from us and know what's on our mind. Now, over in Luke 18, you probably will think of this scripture right off. But let's look at the situation about the unjust judge. The unjust judge. Chapter 18 of Luke, verse 1. I'll read verse 1 through 8. "Then he," Christ, "spoke a parable to them." And here's what the point of the parable was: that men and women, always ought to pray and not lose heart. Because you pray, and what you pray about, you may not get what you think you need. And it says, don't quit praying. Don't quit praying about what's on your mind. And then he told this parable. There was a certain city, a judge. He didn't fear God. This judge could have cared less about God. And He didn't regard or fear man. But he was a judge. Someone you'd like to be able to go to get a fair verdict. Well, there was this widow in that city. She came to this judge. And she said, avenge me of my adversary. So whatever the case may be. It was a parable. All parables break down to some degree because it's a parable. It's a story. A lesson that Christ is trying to tell them. So she went to the judge, and the judge wouldn't even listen to her for a while. But afterwards, he said within himself, though I don't fear God, the judge didn't change the way he thought about God, and I don't regard man. He's thinking, I don't care about this poor widow woman. He said, yet because this widow troubles me, because she kept coming to him and asking for help, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And Christ says, hear what the unjust judge said. This judge, it said, he didn't care about God. He didn't care about this woman. But the perfect judge, God the Father, he cares about mankind. He cares about all of us. He cares about all those people out there that are running around maybe in confusion and don't really know for sure what they're going to do. Hear what the unjust judge said Christ. Then he kind of changes the story here, but he's still talking about the same situation. Shall not God avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him? When you see all the horrible things that are happening in the world and all the situation that's going on, it's just got to be, it weighs you down. And God says he wants us to keep going to him. He wants us to keep crying out to what's bothering us, what's hard. Shall not God avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him? Though he bears long with them. You know, God just bears. He sees our flaws. He sees our weaknesses. But he sees when we're trying. What did Christ have the biggest problem with? The hypocrites. The ones that thought they were so good. And yet, who is worthy of being in God's family? Being in the kingdom? By how good we are? No. None of us are worthy on our own. He says, I tell you, God, he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, here is the point. Notice this final, he kind of like he's changing the situation, but he's really not. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, when Jesus Christ returns, will he even really find faith on the earth? Well, yes, he will. But faith is being eroded because people will get so dragged down in all the horror and all the horrible things that are going on. It just makes it hard, does it not? So the perfect judge, God the Father and Jesus Christ, who is our judge, he'll find faith. But are we going to continue in faith? We see Europe becoming stronger. We see Israelite nations going down. We see Russia's massing troops around the Ukraine border. We see China threatening Taiwan. We see all these things out there. These are things we need to make sure we focus and know about. But yet we can't stop. Can you or I stop Russia from invading Ukraine or China invading Taiwan or what? We can't, but yet we can. When I say we can tell God in our prayers what's bothering us. And then God, he may allow these things to happen, but they're all part of his plan, his purpose, and the end result will be good when Christ returns. So one thing we can do is to learn to take our trials, to take our problems, take our hopes, take our desires to God in prayer. When you get discouraged, when it's hard, I don't think she would mind me saying this, but Lois and I were talking, Lois Ellis, and she said, you know, when I pray, since Jan died, I just start crying. Well, that's legitimate. Why would she not? But yet God sees those tears, and God sees the pain that people are dealing with. And there's so much of it out there. Do you not think, well, I won't mention any other names, but you can put any other name in there. People that are going through health trials. People are going through family trials. People are going through financial trials. All these trials out there. So I've got 7 points. Again, I'm just going to briefly mention them for a brief period of time where we'll have time to talk for anybody that wants to. And, you know, I'll probably take another 30 minutes here, since the clock says I have 28 minutes. So wonder what happens if I go 29. Guess I'll find out. But let's try to think a little bit about prayer here. Here's the point I really want to get across. Number one, prayer is an act of faith. Now, what does that mean? Prayer is an act of faith. I think this is the most important point to get around our minds to begin with. Because we pray to a God we've never seen. We pray to a God we've never seen. Yet somehow we are to believe that He not only hears us, but He answers prayers. So how do we believe He hears and answers? And the answer is faith. The answer is our faith. Prayer is an act of faith. He often answers our prayers and pray in ways we never really ever will totally understand how or why He did it. But prayer is an act of faith. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11. As I spent a little time on this point to get in our mind that when you're praying, it's an act of faith. It's showing God you believe in Him and that you want God to know what's on your mind. It's not some big, you know, it's not like God standing over his shoulder, pray, pray, pray. No, we pray because we need to develop a relationship with God. And we need it to grow. And we all fall so short sometimes. But look at verse 6. Excuse me. Let's look at verse 6 of Hebrews 11. Without faith, so this is what we call the chapter of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So to please God, we first have to have faith, do we not? For he who comes to God must believe that He is. We first got to believe there's a God before anything. I don't need any water. Thanks anyway, though. Good thought, but I'm fine. Yeah, throw it to me. But I appreciate it. But without faith, it is possible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. We must believe there is a God. There's a step right there. But that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. It's like if we keep going to God, He'll notice it. Now, Ephesians 2:8, I'm not going to turn there, but he says faith is a gift from God. Faith is, and as we act upon our faith, it grows. It leads to greater faith, and it leads to greater trust, greater relationship with God. I remember my job downsized years ago. It was over 20 years ago. I can't remember exactly how long, probably further than that. And so I didn't have a job. I wasn't sure what I was going to do, and I got another job after a while, but I was sort of floundering around. And I remember being up at, I think it was the General Conference of Elders up in Cincinnati one year. And I'll never forget this. Some of you may remember Jim O'Brien. And I know Jim, and I still hear from him from time to time. But I was just there for the meet, and I just happened to see Jim. I remember exactly where in the hotel I saw him, and he came up to me, and he said, look, and I didn't even know he knew I didn't have a job. He said, look, don't worry about your job. We got the whole Lexington church praying about this. Now, I just thought, wow, somebody's actually praying about my job. Now, I got a job. God always works things out at the time, but it's amazing how God operates at times. You know, when I moved from California to Nashville in 1985, I had a good job at the company in California, but I wanted to get out of California. Because I was just things about it were didn't feel really good about, and I thought, well, you know, so I thought, well, I prayed about it a lot, and then I asked my company if they had an opening in the Nashville area, which they did, and they told me, yeah, well, and I remember praying. I said, if they will offer to move me and pay for my move, and they'll give me, then I consider that maybe a sign to move. And so I asked them about that, and they agreed to pay for my move, which, you know, that itself was quite a bit. And but they told me, they said, this territory in Nashville is not near as good as the one in Los Angeles that I had. But yet I thought, well, I still think it's a good situation. So I didn't really know what to do. Then I had my boss call me into the office and told me that, look, if you will stay, we'll add a number of more accounts, so you're going to make a whole lot more. But I was just, I didn't know what to do, because I wanted to get back closer to where my family was and so forth. I didn't know what to do. I prayed about it a lot, and then I called the pastor of the congregation that I attended. And I'll never forget this, because I'd never asked the pastor for any advice of this type of stuff. And I called him one day and I asked him if I could talk to him. I had an issue I really needed to counsel with him about. And I'll never forget what he said. I don't have time right now. I'm busy. Now, I still know this person and I like the person and still care about this person. I could tell you other situations I've had with him that were very positive. But who knows what was going on in his life right then. But he said, I don't have time. Well, that answered my question. They were offering to move me. All these things were going on. So I thought that was the answer. And then I think that was a Thursday. And then on the Sabbath, when I got to church, he saw me and he said, oh, listen, I've been thinking about that. You need to stay here. But it was too late. I'd already made my decision to move. Now, it all worked out for the best. And maybe God just caused him to say, I don't have time to talk to you, because God felt it would be good to get out of where I was. And it all turned out very positive. But yet it's amazing how things operate sometimes. So God wants you and God wants me to believe in him, first of all. To believe, it takes faith. And as we draw closer to God in faith, he'll give us more faith. As I said, prayer is an act of faith. That, I thought, is the one point I wanted to really focus on. Now, the other, I'm just going to mention briefly, and you can think about them. Point two is sometimes you and I, who when we're praying, we have to be willing to accept no for an answer. Sometimes we have to be willing to accept no for an answer, because God knows the whole scheme of things. God knows what we really need and what's... Remember Paul, when he went to God and he said, three times I asked God to take this trial from me, whatever it was, some type of physical ailment. And God said no. God said no. So sometimes God answers our prayers in no, but it's because in the whole scheme of things, God is looking at the whole scheme of things in our life, our future, eternity. And no may really be what we really need if God says no. In fact, it will be. A third point to think about, and I could spend a lot of time on this one, but obviously for time's sake I won't, but I'll probably spend more time, a lot of time on this in Fort Worth. But we need to put our entire being into our prayers. Now, what do I mean by that? We need to put our entire being into our prayers. Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Just like when we move, you know, whether it be 6 months or slightly shorter, but probably around 6 months, we don't know where we're going to move to. And Penny and I have talked about it. We're not the least bit worried. I mean, there's this little bit of like, man, we don't want to make a mistake. But we just figure God will help us, because every time we've ever moved before, and we've moved, I think, 8 times in our 13 years of marriage, it's always worked out, and it will again. But Jesus Christ, in verse 37 of Matthew 22, he was talking to the Pharisees in verse 34, and a lawyer in verse 35 came up to him and asked him a question. He was testing him, and he said, "Teacher, which is the great commandment?" Notice what he said, the first. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Now, soul, call that the body. You know, that's probably not a perfect analogy there. But when he's talking about this, you think, how do we honor God when we pray? Well, normally you get down on your knees or you bow your head in a group, which represents reverence and respect. Now, there are plenty of examples in the Bible of people kneeling, but there's plenty of examples in the Bible of people not kneeling. I'll give you a few scriptures you can jot down and look at later. 1 Kings 8:54, Solomon knelt. There's an example. Luke 22:41, Christ knelt. Ephesians 3:14, Paul knelt. But getting on our knees is an expression of humility, expression of worship to God. But I could give you examples of like 2 Samuel 7:18, David sat before the Lord. And there's other cases. Remember when Jeremiah was in the dungeon, down in the quagmire? Probably didn't have to kneel. He probably just called out to God. So one is in our body, our soul, our showing the reverence. Another is our heart. God wants us to put feelings in our prayer. Not some big fake, but God wants us to put feelings. He wants to know what's on our mind. You know, when many of us have been in the Spokesman's Club, what is more odd than an attack speech where we're not mad about the subject? I've seen that before. If you want to give an attack speech in Spokesman Club, you want to be really angry about this subject. So basically, I could just look at some of the Psalms of David and see how heartfelt they are and how he pours out his emotions, his feelings to God. And God called David a man after his own heart, did he not? And then the third, our mind. Prayer cannot just be how we kneel or how we stand or whatever the case may be. It can't just be about emotion. Remember the prophets of Baal, how emotional they were calling out to Baal. But we need to reason with God and think about why we're telling God what we tell him, because we want God to know we're not only reverence of him, we're not only deeply sincere about him, but we consider and think about what we tell him. Fourth point that you can think about and talk about later is, what is our what is my attitude when we pray? What is our attitude when we pray? It must be one of reverence. Because God is perfect. God is our Father. God's holy. So when you pray, when I pray to God, it must be one of reverence toward God. Look at the model prayer, as it's called sometimes, over in the Sermon on the Mount. The very first thing Christ says is, hallowed be God's name. Because God's perfect. God's holy. God doesn't make mistakes. So it's good. Didn't have to always be this way, but it's good to start out a prayer to God by praising the greatness of God, because He is the only reason we take our next breath. We didn't create ourselves, did we? Prayer is a privilege made available by God to human beings. Prayer is a privilege made available by God to human beings. It's not a right that we can demand, but it is a privilege to go to God. A privilege. Now, Psalm 143, go read that sometimes. It begins by David asking God to listen to him, to please listen to him. He's not demanding this of God. Read Psalm 143 sometimes. But he asks God. So you and I must humbly go before God through the office of our Savior Jesus Christ and ask God to please hear us. And we must be prepared to change wrong attitudes. We must not be so stubborn that we're not willing to say, maybe I could do something a little different. Because we all are in many ways stubborn. Certainly me. But yet, when we pray to God, what is our attitude? You know, a humble, repentant person is like incense to God. If we turn away from God, our prayers are not acceptable. I remember a person coming to me one time. He quit attending church, but he was telling me how much closer he was to God. He said, I know I don't attend church anymore, but boy, I am so much closer to God. And he said, when I pray to God, I can pray so much better now that I don't. And I thought, I wish I could say how great my prayers are and how close I always am to God. But yet, in the end, I came to see he wasn't near as close to God as he wanted me to think he was. It was just a bunch of talk. So you and I must look at ourselves before going to God. What is our attitude when we pray? Now, the fifth point of the seven is prayer is an opportunity to present your needs, and prayer is an opportunity for me to present my needs to God. Prayer is an opportunity for us to present our needs to God. God wants to hear your needs. God wants to hear my needs. Like I said, we've already looked at it. Sometimes God says, no, that's not what you really need. But God wants to hear what we're thinking about. God wants to hear what's on our mind. Luke chapter 11. Let's turn to Luke chapter 11. Verse 1. And it came to pass, as he, Christ, was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, when his prayers were over, that one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Just like John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say. Again, this is also in Matthew 6, I believe. But it's not that these... It's not like my father would say the same prayer every night at dinner, and he was sincere about it, and I'm glad he said a prayer. But this is a basic outline of things to think about when you pray. He said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I covered that earlier. God is He's the great one, not you, not me, not anyone human. Hallowed be your name, God. Your kingdom come. Please bring your kingdom back. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will is up in heaven. Down here on earth, God intervenes, but Satan is also causing a lot of problems. Give us day by day our daily bread. We need to be able to have the substances we need. Forgive us our sins. But notice, just like we forgive everyone who is indebted or sinned to us, so we not only need God to forgive us our sins, but we need to be willing to forgive others' sins, not just irritations, but sins. For we also forgive everyone who's indebted to us. I just read that. And lead us not into temptation. Please protect us. You know, I mean, we could have a wreck today, but every single time in the morning, just about, I ask God to please protect us when we're driving around on these roads. And yet, we're also expected to try to be careful in how we do drive or how we do things like that. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Then he gives several verses here, which I won't go into. But he said, he wants us to keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Verse 10 says, everyone who asks will receive. And he who seeks will find. And him who knocks, it'll be open. God's there. So when our children, if we have children, when our children come before us with a proper attitude wanting us to answer, we want to say yes, but sometimes it may not be best to say yes. Sometimes it might be best to wait a little while. Sometimes God may feel we should wait a little while. So God is the Father of us all. Don't you think he wants what's best for you? Don't you think he wants, I know he wants what's best for me, but sometimes what I think is best may not be what really is best. We all have a physical lifespan. We all have a physical lifespan. We don't know how long we're going to live. Some people, you know, I remember going around cemeteries before. My daughter and I used to like to walk around, and we would find grave sites that the person didn't live 24 hours. You know, the date of the birth and the date of the death would be the same. Then we'd see grave sites that people lived into their 100 years old. God knows. God knows. I think the point is 1 Peter 5, verse 6 and 7. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. Again, I'm just kind of pointing out a little bit on each of these points. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God knows when to exalt us. So how are you going to be exalted? Be given eternal life, spirit body. Not a physical body that has all these aches and pains that eventually erodes away. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. God cares for us. God cares for all those people out there in the world. But he sure cares for someone that goes to him for help. Now, number 6. Pray for God's protection and deliverance from Satan and this world. Pray for God's protection and deliverance from Satan and this world. Without prayer, you and I are little match for Satan. On our own, it's not easy. In fact, it's impossible. One scripture here, Luke 21. Luke 21, verse 36. Watch therefore, parallels Matthew 24. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. In fact, I'm going to read a scripture here I wasn't planning to read, but it's in Isaiah 57. I read this at Don Ellis's funeral. And I actually read it at James McGrew's funeral. Because I think this, something to think about. Verse 1 and 2 of Isaiah 57. The righteous perish, and no man takes it to heart. You know, righteous people can die, and yet the world doesn't even seem to care or even know. You know, if President Biden died, everybody would know, would they not? Everyone would know because he's famous. He's the president. But righteous people out there, sometimes nobody knows. Merciful men, merciful women are taken away while no one considers, no one even thinks about it. It's not a big deal to the average person. No one considers, though, that the righteous, when they go to sleep, is taken away from the evil. They're put in a safe place, waiting for the return of Jesus Christ when they're resurrected. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. God is protecting. Although it's hard, it's tough to not see your friends. You know, I know Penny and I were hoping there'd be a good turnout for the funeral. And there was. And it was encouraging to see people there to honor Don, just like there were people there to honor James. And yet, we grieve. But yet, we're there to honor. And point 7, and I'll close with this one. Pray for others, especially fellow Christians. It's not that you don't pray for the mankind, but pray for others, especially fellow Christians that are out there trying, serving, to serve God. Now, I could turn, and I won't, for lack of time, to 1 Samuel 7, verse 2 through 13. And you can read the prayer that Samuel gave for the Israelites. And he asked God to be with those Israelites. Protect them, keep them safe. So it's a moving prayer by Samuel. The kingdom of God's coming. We all want to be there when it arrives. But the bottom line is if we do not pray, if we do not put prayer into action, as futile as we may seem sometimes, and as like, you know, sometimes I think, why would my prayers get above the ceiling? Well, God sees us even different than we see ourselves. If we do not pray, if we do not put prayer into action, everything we talked about today will not change your life. Bottom line is, what is going to happen to me? What is going to happen to you if we do not pray and strive to develop a relationship with God?